Hallelujah. Such a beautiful atmosphere here in our service today. Mark chapter 4. Oh my gosh. Talk about our anchor. Oh my goodness. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. We're going to go through verse 41. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. A great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want to just assure you, every one of us this morning, that our God cares about each one of us. And I want you to also understand that the God we serve has a personal relationship with us. Yes, we have a personal relationship with Him, but guess what? It works both ways. Amen. And He has a personal involvement. And whatever affects you, listen, He has a personal concern about it. So would you just turn to someone around you right now and look them in the eye right here at the start and let them know Jesus cares for you. And that's the title of my message this morning. Jesus cares for you. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, I want you to leave here knowing that without a doubt on this Father's Day, that your Heavenly Father cares for you. And we find not only Mark then recording this story in his book, we see the story also written by Matthew and by Luke. And they're all are pretty much in agreement as to what they say about this particular story of this event. Here Jesus gets into the ship and with his disciples, and he says, "Let us go," or "let us pass over to the other side." Now, you got to get this, because the word "us" is a powerful word. He said, "Let us." He's saying, "I'm not sending you by yourself, but I'm with you. So let us pass over to the other side." And you can say what you want to. If you have that assurance, then whatever danger that you might face, if Jesus is in it with you, that in itself ought to be a consoling to each one of us. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, God reminds us that when you pass through the waters, He said, "I'll be with you. I will not allow the rivers to overflow you. And even when you go through the fire," He says, "I'll be there. And there won't even be a hair of your head that is singed." And even when there is death maybe in my family, or when I'm so sick it looks like death's door has opened for me. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 123, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me." So He's with you. You've got an assurance that everything is going to be okay. We also have a promise from His Word that we can stand on, where He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And so now He says, "Let us go pass over to the other side, and he gets onto the ship. And we find Mark then telling us in verse 36 that there were other little ships with them. Now, we'll find that neither Matthew nor Luke says anything about those little ships. And it, as if it seems that they were not concerned about anybody but those who were on board the ship where Jesus was. And we must watch then ourselves, because sometimes that's the way a lot of folks are. They're not concerned about anybody else but the people who are aboard their ship or part of their church or even part of their family. It's therefore and no more. Yes, they may be in another ship or little ship, yet if you're in a storm and you're trying to keep up with Jesus, we certainly ought to be concerned about them also. Can you say amen? And we can do what we can do then for them, if nothing else but lifting them up in prayer and asking God to lead them and guide them in their time of need. Well, what if there are those then who don't know the Lord Jesus? It might be your neighbor. It might be a coworker. It might be that person that is behind the counter, and they are in their own storm. Well, guess what? We ought to be concerned about them also, enough to know that it's our obligation to get them in touch with Jesus. He'll give you the words to say. It might just be a word of encouragement for them going through what they're going through. So we see the storm begins to rage, and Jesus immediately went to sleep. Understand, with me being all man, yet all God, we see he got tired because he had just been ministering to a great multitude of people. And he was now tired and got on board the ship and he lay down. And there then with the disciples trying to battle against the waves, but when they saw that they could not prevail by themselves, somebody decided it's time to wake up Jesus. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'd be willing to say somebody in here has been battling against the waves by yourself. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? You may not be concerned about any natural atmospheric storm going on right now, yet you may be caught in a domestic storm. It doesn't matter what you call it. If you're living in a situation where you know that home sweet home does not exist at the moment, simply meaning that there's friction between family members. And sadly, we know statistics show so many times out in the world tragedy follows in a domestic dispute. A lot of different things happen amid families because they could not sit down and rationally talk to each other and try to work things out. Debt, drugs, alcohol, we know the pull of the world. We know all of these things play a part in those type of situations. Families not making the time to sit down and talk, and yes, even pray about a situation. So we find then violence erupts. And anytime you're living in a domestic situation where there is domestic violence, whether it's with fists or knives or with guns or even with a lot of profanity, guess what? It's not a safe place, to say the least, a comfortable situation then to be in. Amen. So whatever you want to call it, it can be a domestic storm. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the God that I serve, my Heavenly Father, can calm the domestic storm that's going on in your life. Now, it may not be a domestic storm. It might happen to be a financial storm. You find you're getting more bills than you are money. And so the money is short. And so you're wrestling now with the bills, trying to see which one is priority this week. And you're shuffling papers and you're trying to hit this one this week and hit the other one the next payday. And guess what? The stack of bills is getting higher. and there seems to be no hope. And you come to church and someone is talking about tithing. Well, you say, Pastor, I'm in trouble and you've got the nerve to tell me I ought to be a tither. Well, what do you mean? Well, what you don't understand is that when you hear that you ought to honor God with your finances and give Him the first fruit of your increase, guess what? That is a fact, because we know that you can't do by yourself. Amen. You can't figure it out by yourself. But when you give Him His part, He steps then into your financial storm and He calms that raging tempest. He promises us in His Word that He will rebuke the devourer for our sake. And guess what? There's a lot of things waiting to devour each one of us. And so, yes, it may seem crazy to hear it, but Pastor, even with 100%, I can't make ends meet. And you're going to tell me to put 10% in an envelope and drop it in a basket at church, and then I'm going to try to get along with what is left. Yet, guess what? You find out then that when you make Jesus a partner with your finances, in fact, guess what? It was all His in the first place. He takes what you got left. He takes that 90%, and somehow, supernaturally, you see how it stretches and you can take care of things. And many in here this morning have experienced that miracle for themselves over and over. Well, again, it may not be an atmospheric storm. It may not be a storm domestically. It might not be a financial storm that you're concerned about. Maybe you are in a storm of ill health, and it seems as though one illness after another has seized your body. And while you're taking medicines then to help one thing, it complicates something else. And while you're going to the one doctor on the one condition, it looks like another thing keeps getting worse. So you find yourself in a storm of ill health. In our world today, so many young people are going through storms of peer pressure. They really don't want to get caught up in the spirit of this age, but their best friends are involved in trying drugs and pressuring them to try drugs. And now the sad thing is that because our nation is on a very dangerous road, I call it a very slippery slope, a point of no return, with celebrating and pushing a woke culture, including alternative lifestyles. I personally believe America is destined to be severely judged by Almighty God sooner than later. What He calls an abomination is nothing to be taken lightly. Can you say amen? Amen. I read this week where a middle-aged boy was kicked out of his school for wearing a t-shirt that said, "There are only two genders." He was punished for displaying the truth on a t-shirt. And if that wasn't bad enough, I read this week where a man living a transgender lifestyle as a woman wants to be implanted now with ovaries and a uterus for the sole purpose, watch this, for the sole purpose of having an abortion. Understand with me, that's not health care. That's premeditated murder of a baby. And anyone facilitating that ought to be considered then as an accessory in such an act. How much lower can we get in our society? Even our family members, our young ladies, they're in high school, and some of them that are in middle school are saying. The other girls are trying to pressure them into a lesbian lifestyle. So our young people, our children, and our grandchildren need a lot of prayer because they are caught up in so many storms, watch this, that are not a making of their own. The only thing I'm trying to tell you this morning is that I serve a Savior who cares for you and He cares for me. And regardless of what your storm may be, He can speak peace into that and He can command it to cease its raging. Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." In other words, Jesus is saying, I've done what I'm supposed to do over here, and I've got some business on the other side. But immediately when they committed themselves to the water to pass over to the other side, we see in our story here that a storm arose. The wind began to blow. The lightning began to flash. The thunder began to roar. And they kept on trying then to bring the ship across by themselves. But after a while, when they realized that the storm was too much for them, somebody said, well, you better go and wake up Jesus. And I don't know who it was. It's often been said that it was Simon Peter. But one of the disciples walked into where Jesus was sleeping, shook him and woke him up and said, Master, I just want you to know, do you not care that we're going to go down in a watery grave? Do you care that the wind is howling and the lightning is flashing across the sky and the thunder is roaring? I just want to know, do you care? Listen, can I tell you something this morning? Whatever kind of storm that you're in, and you've been wondering, Lord, do you care that my bills are stacked up? Do you care that confusion is tearing my house apart? Do you care that our children and our grandchildren are in a storm of peer pressure? Do you care that sickness is in my body? Yes, 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 He cares about everything going on in all of our lives. Understand with me that Jesus did not feel that He had to open His mouth to respond with a word to them right there at the first. The word, if you please, was already out there to show how He cares for us. He already said in Psalms 103 and verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. It means compassion. It means God is a God of compassion. He has already shown us His love. So He didn't say a word to them at first, and now He gets up and He wipes the sleep out of His eyes. And the words He did speak were first, peace. Guess what? He's the peace speaker, isn't He? And when He said peace, the wind stopped blowing. I want you to know it may be windy in your life. It may be stormy in your life. And you may be saying, Master, the tempest is raging. The sky is overshadowed with blackness, and there seems to be no hope. Do you not care that we are about to perish? How can you just lay there and sleep? Jesus, all you have to do is speak peace, and the wind and the waves will obey your will. Listen. Listen to the way three writers expressed how He finally responded. This is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. He says that Jesus' words were, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Yet when I read over in the Gospel of Luke, according to Luke 8:25, Luke said, Jesus asked him, where is your faith? And then Mark comes along here in our story, in this account, he comes along and says, I'm going to tell you just like it is. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, maybe you are in the crowd that has lost your faith. Well, where is it? Maybe you can't believe him for a, maybe you can believe him for a headache, but you can't believe him to save you from the storm. Well, the question is, are you of little faith? Understand something with me this morning, that whatever you're going through, you have to know he cares for you. And he simply wants us to trust him and believe his word concerning our lives. I love that song that says these words, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever is so kind and true. No one else can take the grief and the sorrow from me. Oh, how much my Savior cares for me." When Jesus got through then rebuking the wind and rebuking the rain, guess what? The wind stopped. It stopped blowing and the rain held back. And the Bible says in Mark 4:39, we read it, that there was a great calm. It wasn't just a little bit better, but it went from a great storm into a great calm. I want you to know that God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, can do that for every one of us in our storms. He can turn that great storm into a great calm. Amen. Now, knowing that it's Father's Day, I personally have great memories of my dad. He had a big heart to give and help others sometimes at a fault. And he instilled into us a legacy, especially about good work ethics. He believed in giving it all that you got and not giving up. That was my dad. That was my father. But now there was a moment in my life when this fatherhood relationship took on a whole new dimension. Well, let me explain. Being saved at an early age, I did not understand it fully at that moment until much later in life as I matured spiritually. But when I accepted Jesus into my heart and I received the baptism and the Holy Spirit at the age of 7, that was the day when I was adopted into a whole new household. A household in which now my earthly parents also became my spiritual brother and sister. Because, listen now, because now we shared a common heavenly Father. And since that day, just like many of you, I have been enveloped, for lack of a better word, in a paternal care that transcends any other earthly love I've ever known. When I received Christ as my Savior, in that moment I was made a son of God and restored to a perfect, intimate relationship with the great Creator. Was I then perfect? Absolutely not. I am still a work in progress to become more like Him, and so are you. And here then is a wonderful hope for every one of us. I'm well aware that not everyone has or has had the same experience with their earthly fathers. Sadly, some have been betrayed and hurt by their father. Others dominated by a tyrant. Others were ignored. Others were even deserted. And then there are some who never even knew their earthly father. But now here's the hope. Here is the promise that we have this morning. None of us have to live without the fatherhood of Almighty God. He loves us. He loves every one of His children without distinction. And He is faithful and He is true to the uttermost. And I hope you get this. There is none like Him. His paternal care, His fatherly care is not just a replacement or a compensation for those who haven't known an earthly father's love. No, He is the truest Father of all. And every one of us are in need of His love. Can you say amen? He has a father's heart. It's the very nature of who God is. He is a father. And we see this revealed in His relationship to His creation. God created all things, and He sustains it continuously with meticulous care. Jesus spoke these words recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. He said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Watch this. "Are you not of more value than they?" Here then is where so many people get it all turned around. People say, "Well, Pastor, you talk about God being a father. You should have met my dad. He was a user. He was a tyrant. He was this. He was that. Don't talk to me about fathers. If God is a father, then I don't want to know Him." Please hear me closely this morning. God is not just like a father. He is the Father. The Bible shows God to be the model of fatherhood upon which all other fathers are judged. If you want to know what a true father is, don't look at your earthly father. Don't look at my father or any other earthly father, however good that they may appear to be. Open the pages of God's Word and see the heart of the Father revealed in the very nature of God Himself. He is the model. I said He is the model. He's the one who is faithful and true and just and merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, loving, affectionate, providing. He's patient. He's kind. And could we not go on and on? And guess what? The devil then comes to make us doubt the loving fatherhood of God. Have you ever noticed that the temptations to doubt God's faithfulness to us are not usually thrown at us here in the house of God on a Sunday morning? But it's always in the midst of those stormy, rough places on Sunday evening, and the car breaks down on Monday when the AC goes out or the fridge goes out, or on Tuesday when you're at Walmart and someone backs into you and leaves the scene. It's always when the trying and the difficult circumstances of life come our way. So what's the key this morning? What is the answer? It's called being prepared in advance. We must be fully persuaded of who we are in Christ. And we must be fully persuaded of who of the fatherhood of God. Fully persuaded of your sonship. We are sons and daughters claimed as His own. And watch this. And therefore, we are the objects of His eternal loving care and tender affections. And yes, He looks after His children as a mother hen looks after her chicks. And no, He neither sleeps nor slumbers as He watches over us. Now we know hard times are coming. The world is not going to get any better. And we know it's good then to have some extra stored up in the natural. But how much more important then is it that we are prepared in the spirit? In other words, knowing who we are and the authority that we carry in our spirit, in our members as a child of God. If you have Jesus in you, you are a king's kid and you are an heir to Almighty God. The Bible says, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So yes, today is Father's Day. And along with our natural fathers, remember, we can celebrate our Heavenly Father. Galen, would you come on down and prepare to play? I want to read one more portion of Scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. Here's what Peter wrote later on. Remember, he was right there in that storm with them. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, that He may lift you up in due time. Here's, watch this. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. This morning, once again, you may be going through a storm. Yet remember, with the Lord in your boat, you'll make it to the other side. You'll come out victorious. Just kind of keep it low if you can. Don't stop, but keep it low. Don't keep trying to figure it out on your own. Don't get so lifted up in yourself, because guess what? You'll come crashing down every time. He cares for us. He does not want us independent according to the world standards. He wants us to depend upon Him. Why? Because as His children, He really does care for us. There are those times when we go through things that it's just going to be you and God. No one else will know. It's something that you can only talk to God about. You can't talk to anybody else about. Even though He already knows all about it, He wants you to tell it to Him. And guess what? When we do, if we will listen, if we will give it to Him, He will take that thing that was a bad situation in your life, and guess what? The Scriptures tell us He'll turn it for good. He'll turn it for good. And guess what? If we get off track, He'll help us. He'll help steer us back if we will listen to Him. And that's just who our God is, because He cares for us. We are children of the King. So this morning, as we are bringing it to a close, I want you to stay seated for just a few minutes more. Because whatever situation you're dealing with, no one has to know. I just felt to go down, to just begin to go down a list of things that came to me. And again, no one has to know the details. Only you and God. Now understand, I'm not trying to fill the time up this morning. I'm serious, because God wants to manifest His power in your life today. And in fact, you can do this right where you're seated. I want to give you that situation. I want you to give that situation to the Lord. You don't have to do it again. You don't have to do it out loud. but you do it in your spirit. Just say, as I mention these things, as I go down this list, why don't you very quietly just say in your spirit, Lord, I give that to you. Yes, I give that to you. And listen, I promise you that you can leave this place today with such an assurance and such peace, knowing that everything is going to be okay. Why? Because you gave it to Him. Now here goes. Now you can close your eyes as I go through this list. And if you want, you might want to just hold the person's hand next to you. It might be a spouse. It might be one close there to you. Lord Jesus, we come humbly before you this morning. And we have situations and circumstances and yes, storms that we are dealing with in our lives. We know our children are dealing with things and we can't fix it. Yet we know that you can. So Lord, right now, I give you that which has been tormenting my mind for some time. You said, give it to you because you care for us. So I do that right now. Would you just give it to Him? Whatever has been tormenting your spirit for a while, you just say, Lord, I give it to you. All right? Lord, here are my disappointments. I know you care. I give them to you right now. Not only tormenting things, not only disappointments. Lord, here's all my frustrations. I know you care. I give them to you. I can't fix it, but I know you can. Here's all my questions. I know you care. I give it to you right now. I don't have the answers, but you do. And Lord, here's all my doubts. And here's all my fears. And Lord, I admit there's quite a few here. Yet I know that you care. Here's all those distractions that are keeping me down. Here's my anxiety that's keeping me awake at night. I give it to you right now. I know you care. Here's my children. Here's my grandchildren who are not living the way they should. I give them to you. I do that right now. Here's my unbelieving spouse. Here are those bills I cannot pay. I give them to you. Show me what to do because I know you care. Here is that sickness. Here is that disease. Here is that infirmity that won't seem to let go in my body. I give it to you right now. Today on Father's Day, here is everything that's causing a storm in my life. As your word says, I humble myself before you and I cast all of this on you because, first of all, you said to. And I know as my Heavenly Father, you care about me. So right now, by faith, I release it into your hands in Jesus' name. Thank you for setting me free of all of these things. Thank you for victory in my spirit. Thank you for victory in my body. Thank you for victory in my mind, over my will, and over my emotions in Jesus' name. it does not matter how much the wind blows or the thunder roars or how high the waves are. I know it's going to be okay. In Jesus' name, amen. And knowing that the word amen, what it means so be it. Would you say that with me this morning? So be it in my life and in your life. One more thing I want to do. I want to just make a declaration. And yes, we could apply this to all of our fathers this morning. But I want it to be applied to each one of us and to this body as a whole, okay? This is just a declaration that we're going to make and determine that this moment forward, we're going forward. Amen. We're going to go forward in victory, yes. Not defeat. We're not going to go backwards. Amen. All right, here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, as the under-shepherd of this house, I decree and I declare that this body of believers as a whole and individually flourishes. Amen. Can you take that as your own? Even if you're not part of this church or part of this body, take it as your own today. Yes. Lord, I thank you that I'm going to flourish. Yes. And Lord, we will reverence you in all things. I declare that we are filled with light and we operate in integrity and holiness and humility and excellence and love and in a spirit of unity. We can apply that to our families, can't we? Now, here we go. We forbid, we block, we deny, we paralyze, and we bind every evil work that is sent to take us down. Amen. You have the authority to do that. If you see something coming at you, Lord, I bind that thing right now. It's not going to torment me today. In Jesus' name. You've been given that authority. And here we go. And we loose the mind of Christ over us. Let's do that anew today. Lord, I just loose the mind of Christ over me today. Being led by the Spirit of Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, led by the Spirit of love, led by the Spirit of power, loved by the Spirit of a sound mind. We loose the gifts of the Spirit once again this morning. That spirit of wisdom, that spirit of knowledge, that spirit of counsel, that spirit of might, that spirit of understanding, and that of reverent fear over us right now. And over this house, and in and through each individual who are a part of this house, we loose, we release into our hearts and into our lives anew today, we release fresh vision. We release diligence and unity and power over all that concerns us to fulfill your purposes and your plans that you have for us in this last hour. And we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's all stand together. Would you worship? Go ahead. Let's worship the Lord with a hand clap of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Can you take that as your own today? Amen and amen. Again, happy Father's Day. And as we leave today, why don't you find three people? I didn't say 7 or 10, I said 3 people as you're leaving today, and just tell them Jesus cares for you. I love you. God bless you. Do we have something for the fathers? We want to put them back there, or you want to? We can get that. Okay. All right. Brother Gary, would you help get those cups? And we have a little cup, a little gift, and a devotion.